Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. All in Her Head by Elizabeth Comen is a wide-angle history of how medicine has understood, misunderstood, and often dismissed women's bodies, and how those ideas still shape care today. Written by a Memorial Sloan Kettering physician, the book traces the legacy of early medical theories that cast women as biologically unstable, emotionally unreliable, or defined mainly by reproduction. Comen connects those inherited assumptions to modern gaps in research, diagnosis, and treatment, showing how pain, fatigue, infertility, and other concerns have been minimized or misread when presented by women. The narrative blends historical episodes with the practical realities of contemporary healthcare, emphasizing that medical knowledge is never separate from culture, power, and whose experiences are believed. Rather than treating sexism in medicine as a relic, the book argues it is a living framework that affects clinical decisions, policy, and personal autonomy. The result is both an accessible account of medical history and a call for more rigorous, equitable care. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how early medical theories defined women as problems to manage. A central theme is how foundational medical ideas framed women's bodies as inherently disordered. Across centuries, influential physicians and institutions often treated women as governed by reproductive organs, hormones, or supposed emotional volatility, turning normal variation into pathology. When a group is described as unstable by nature, the medical system can justify control rather than understanding, and that pattern appears in how women were diagnosed, institutionalized, and told to endure symptoms. The book explores how authority was built through repeating these frameworks in training, textbooks, and professional norms, even when evidence was thin or shaped by social prejudice. These narratives did not only affect gynecology, they colored the interpretation of neurological complaints, chronic pain, and mental health. By explaining how such assumptions were made to sound scientific, Comen shows why they proved so durable and how they set the stage for persistent diagnostic bias. The topic matters because it reveals that inequitable care is not just a matter of individual bedside manner, but a structural inheritance. Understanding the origin story helps readers recognize when modern explanations echo old stereotypes and when a patient's report is being filtered through outdated expectations. Secondly, when medicine dismisses symptoms, harm becomes routine. Another major topic is the historical and ongoing tendency to minimize women's symptoms as exaggerated, psychological, or simply part of being female. The book connects past labels that reduced women's suffering to nerves or temperament with present-day experiences of delayed diagnoses and undertreated pain. Comen emphasizes how dismissal becomes self-reinforcing. If clinicians expect women to be unreliable narrators of their bodies, they may order fewer tests, offer less aggressive treatment, or attribute complex problems to stress. Over time, those choices influence outcomes, producing real morbidity that later appears to confirm the initial low expectations. This section also highlights the practical dynamics that drive bias, such as time pressure, training shortcuts, and the use of stereotypes as clinical heuristics. The reader is encouraged to see dismissal not as an occasional mistake, but as a pattern that can be tracked across conditions, settings, and populations, with intensified effects for women facing racism, poverty, or disability. The topic ultimately reframes credibility as a health resource. Being believed affects access to care, and skepticism has consequences. Recognizing these mechanisms can help patients advocate more effectively and help clinicians examine the hidden assumptions that shape their differential diagnosis. Thirdly, reproductive health as a battleground for autonomy and authority, the book places reproductive medicine at the center of the story because it has long been where cultural anxieties about women's agency are most visible. Comen traces how medical oversight expanded through childbirth practices, fertility care, contraception debates, and the medicalization of life stages such as menstruation and menopause. The theme is not that medical interventions are inherently harmful, but that decision-making power often shifted away from patients, with doctors, institutions, and policymakers claiming authority over what was acceptable or normal. That history helps explain why reproductive healthcare remains politically charged and why access, consent, and informed choice are so contested. The topic also considers how the language of protection can hide control, presenting restrictions as benevolent while limiting options and undermining trust. By showing how scientific claims and moral judgments have repeatedly intertwined, Comen invites readers to question who benefits when a reproductive decision is framed as strictly medical necessity. The modern relevance is clear. The quality of reproductive care depends not only on technology, but on respect for autonomy, evidence-based counseling, and acknowledging the patient's goals. This focus helps readers evaluate policies and clinical interactions through the lens of agency, not just outcomes. Fourthly, the research gap, and why evidence has not served women equally. A critical topic is how medical evidence has been shaped by who gets studied, who gets funded, and whose outcomes matter. The book explores the consequences of underrepresenting women in clinical research and of treating the male body as a default model. When trials, diagnostic criteria, or dosing standards are built on incomplete populations, everyday care inherits those blind spots. Komen explains how this creates cascading problems. Atypical symptom patterns may be missed, side effects may be misjudged, and conditions that disproportionately affect women may be deprioritized. The topic also addresses why this gap persisted, including concerns about pregnancy, liability, and the convenience of study design, all of which can become excuses for scientific shortcuts. Importantly, the book does not reduce the issue to a single decision or era. It presents a system where incentives, publishing norms, and institutional inertia can perpetuate inequity even without overt misogyny. Readers come away with a clearer view of why better data is a justice issue, not a niche concern. The discussion encourages a more critical consumer stance toward medical claims, asking what populations were studied, what was measured, and whether guidelines reflect diverse bodies and lived realities. Lastly, rebuilding trust, practical paths toward better care and shared power. Beyond diagnosis of the problem, the book emphasizes what change can look like for patients, clinicians, and institutions. Komen highlights the need for shared decision-making where patient experience and medical expertise are treated as complementary forms of knowledge. This topic frames healthcare as a relationship built on transparency, explaining uncertainty, acknowledging limits of evidence, and making room for the patient's priorities. It also underscores systemic levers, such as improving medical education on sex differences, investing in research for female prevalent conditions, and developing clinical environments that take pain and quality of life seriously. The book suggests that agency grows when patients have language for their symptoms, understand the logic of clinical pathways, and feel empowered to ask for clarification, second opinions, or referrals. At the same time, it challenges clinicians to reflect on patterns that can look like efficiency but function like dismissal, such as interrupting, anchoring quickly, or defaulting to stress explanations. Trust is presented not as a soft value but as a measurable determinant of adherence, follow-up, and outcomes. By pairing historical insight with forward-looking recommendations, this section helps readers transform frustration into strategy. It leaves the impression that equity is achievable when medicine treats women as full partners in knowledge production and care. In conclusion, this book is well suited for readers who want to understand why women's health concerns are so often complicated by skepticism, delayed answers, or unequal research attention. Patients and caregivers will find language and context for experiences that can otherwise feel isolating, while clinicians, students, and policymakers can use the historical lens to identify how bias becomes embedded in routine practice. The benefit is practical as well as intellectual. Understanding the roots of dismissal helps readers advocate for clearer explanations, more thorough evaluation, and genuinely shared decision-making. It can improve how you navigate appointments, interpret medical advice, and recognize when a complaint is being minimized rather than investigated. Compared with similar books on medical history or women's health, this one stands out by tying past theories directly to present clinical patterns, showing continuity rather than treating injustice as a closed chapter. The author's perspective as a practicing physician gives the narrative immediacy and helps translate history into today's healthcare realities without losing nuance. If you want a single resource that connects cultural beliefs, scientific practice, and personal agency into one coherent story, it is worth buying for its clarity, relevance, and sustained focus on what changes would actually make care more equitable. If you would like to support Elizabeth Komen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.